this, or else why are we even doing this?
If I don't think I cut out all the fun stuff, because that to me is the fun stuff.
Build that audience, because if you've got no one to sell it to, then it's just going to flop and die, and no one likes a floppy, right?
I'm yet to meet a woman who just kind of grew up confidently in her body.
Welcome to my podcast. I'm Nicole Brumner. Join my weekly conversations with really interesting people as I delve into the stories and experiences that make them uniquely them.
Hello, hello, and thank you for all of you who are watching us live today, and thank you for those who are listening to the recording. I'm here with Edel, and we are discussing the UK house prices, and more specifically, what's been happening in the last month with the indicators, and what we can read in from that, and I guess forecast what's going to happen in the future, which is very important. So Edel, thank you very much for joining me today. Interesting set of numbers. But yeah. Still positive, is that true?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of positive news out there with the new Prime Minister Rishi Sunak coming in. There has been a whirlwind of information flows, turbulence in the markets, whether it be predictions on interest rates, inflation, and the general unease in all markets caused by the outgoing Prime Minister. And again, there's always two schools of thought. There's the kind of the pessimists, the newsreels, which are kind of designed to kind of scare us, if you like. And then what my aim is to do is to kind of cut through some of those numbers and find out exactly what is happening in different sectors of the market. So every month, my property consultant, we produce something called the Property Index Tracker. So it's a monthly dashboard where we collect information from Halifax, Rightmove, Nationwide, the Office of National Statistics, and we compare that with HMRC transactions. And the aim is we produce this information on a monthly basis, all on one page, so that information can be shared. And it gives a snapshot of what is happening in the UK market at that one particular moment in time. So if you'd like to receive further downloads of that, you can go to our website, which is myproperty-consultant.london. You'll find the button contact us and you can send us a message with your email details on there, and we'll add you onto our monthly mailing list. So this will be sent to you on a monthly basis with commentary from me. The main headlines we'll have this month is the evidence of any market slowdown has yet to appear. When we look at the high level figures, Nationwide, Halifax and Rightmove are all showing figures which have increased on an annual basis. I said on the last time we were here that different organisations are collecting different sets of data, which is the main reason we've put them onto that one sheet. For example, when we look at Nationwide and Halifax, they're the largest and second largest mortgage provider in the UK. On an annual basis, Nationwide is showing an increase of 9.5%. Over the last 12 months. Halifax is showing an increase of 9.8% over the last 12 months. And when we look at the dashboard compared to the figures we ran last month, we've got Nationwide quoting 9.7% this month compared to 10% in September. Halifax are also quoting 9.8% this month compared to 11.5% in the previous month. So the rate of change of house price growth is slowing, but there's no evidence of this massive downturn that people are talking about. Pessimists will forecast, prices may fall 5%, 10%. We'll come back onto that later in terms of what does that mean in real terms. The Rightmove data is collecting something completely different, which is basically, it's a portal which, as you all know, will kind of have properties listed for sale and rental. And what they're quoting are the actual asking prices. And on Rightmove, for the last 12 months, they're quoting a price increase of 8.7% nationally, and that's compared with 8.5% growth last month. So again, the rates are very, very strong. The official government data, which is ONS data, so Office of National Statistics, is actually collecting sold price data. So it's the only real indication of what house prices are actually doing, but there is a 2 to 3 month time lag. When people buy a property, your conveyancer or solicitor will log that with the land registry. And the ONS data is actually showing that prices year on year for this month have increased 13.6% over the last 12 months. And that is compared to 15% when I ran the figures last month. So the rate of growth is slowing, but the prices are still significantly increasing. And there are geographical variances. For example, London has increased by 8.3% in the last month. And when we ran the figures previously, it was 9.2%. So prices are still growing year on year when we look at it on an annualized basis, but they all are collecting slightly different information.
And is the 13.6 increase, that takes us through to August, doesn't it? July and August.
Correct.
So is that still the low base effect that we were seeing in the previous month's figures?
Yes, it will, because what we are looking at is actual figures compared to exactly 12 months ago. So all the newspapers, the newsreels will be quoting annualized figures. What have figures been doing compared to this time last year? So the figures look comparatively high. On the dashboard, when you actually see it, we do actually kind of run actual trend lines. I know it's a bit small to actually see, but because we've been running the data for the last 3 or 4 years, you can actually see the trends, which is quite important. And when you compare the indices with one another, you can actually compare them against each other, and they're all kind of saying the same thing. So on the dashboard, we quote the figures on an annual basis, which is what the media will pick up. But you actually show the monthly change as well. And this is where it does get slightly interesting, because when we look at the nationwide for the month on month, they're showing prices have actually decreased by 0.5%. And Halifax are showing a decrease of 0.1% on property prices. However, the caveat with those figures are nationwide and Halifax, they're reporting on their existing book of business. So if they have a bumper month, which is geographically skewed towards London or to Northern Powerhouse, it will change those figures. When we look at the Rightmove data on a month-by-month basis, they're quoting prices have increased by 0.7%. And when you look at ONS figures, month-on-month, they've actually increased by 0.9% over the month of October. So again, figures are still going in the positive direction as opposed to a negative direction. But in reality, I think what will happen is if there is any slowdown, we won't see this until the early part of next year.
We are seeing a slight decline on a month-by-month basis with the nationwide London three-month average.
Yes.
Should we read anything into that?
It's too early to tell. London does act very differently from the rest of the country. In the past couple of years, London has acted behind the rest of the UK. So when prices in London are kind of affected negatively, a lot of that is due to things like foreign travel. So during the COVID 2 years that we've just come out the end of, international travel has only just reopened. So there's traditional buyers buying the top end properties in London. So this is the high net worth clients buying properties more than £2 million. Those clients have failed to return to the UK as such. And that will have a skew on those figures, which partly explains why London is slightly behind the rest of the UK.
Yeah, when I look at the figures, it's the only one that's showing a decline month on month. Let's have a look now at the RICS survey. Now, this is an interesting one because this is down quite a bit. What can we read into this minus 21%? Month on month or quarterly change?
Yeah, so what is happening there is obviously the surveyors which go out and view these properties for valuation purposes, they are meant to be looking at those properties and they will quote what they believe the real market value of that property is. They're not meant to be swayed by market factors, but they clearly are. Now, if you know of anyone that's gone through a mortgage application over the last 2 or 3 months, there have been quite a few down valuations on these properties. For example, if you're buying a property, it might be valued at £700,000 in Greater London. What has happened is the mortgage valuer has gone in, there'd be a RICS surveyor, and they've downvalued the property by about 5 or 10%, because that's where they believe the market may head over the next 12 months. They've got an important role where they've got to be seen not to calling the market too negatively, But if they're acting independently on behalf of the lender, they can't call it incorrectly by artificially inflating the price. So surveyors are playing a bit of a tricky area where they are, because they've got to kind of make sure they're not overvaluing properties for lending purposes. And a lot of mortgage buyers will be taking a 2 or 5 year fix. So the surveyor has got to take that into account when they value the property.
So this minus 21%, that's the number of bookings, isn't it? That's not their view or their downgrade. That is the number of bookings that surveyors have had over that period.
That is correct. So it's the activity levels within the mortgage market.
So let's look at rentals, because there's been a lot talked about in the press about rents, rental demand still continuing to climb, and still talk of queues outside properties and people being oversubscribed to their property. What's actually happening with the Homelet Buy-to-Let Index?
Yeah, so the Buy-to-Let Index is tracking rents in specific areas, and then it is actually put onto this dashboard. So on a nationwide average, prices have increased 9.2% year on year. And that's the UK-wide figure. And that compares to 8.5% last month. What's interesting is in London, where we operate, rents have actually increased 11% over the past 12 months. And that's compared to 10.8% last month. So if anything, rental asking prices have actually increased over the last month, and definitely over the last 12 months, in excess of, 9.2% nationwide and 11% in London. What is happening is, if mortgage lending tightens, there'll be less people buying properties, which will mean more people will be renting for longer periods. And there's different dynamics going on in the rental market, which you'll know about, Nicole, where if there are less landlords in the market, there'll be less rental properties available, and pure supply and demand with less properties available, it does drive up rents. And that is an unintended consequence of what might be happening with the fiscal and monetary policies which are affecting landlords at the moment.
It's quite interesting here in the Homelet Buy-to-Let Index, in their commentary, and the average rent in the UK is now at £1,159 a month. And the average rent in London is £1,945. So that is a lot of money. And again, I was reading yesterday the proportion of people's monthly income that goes into rent. We still don't have enough rental products, do we?
We don't. And the government have basically made a political move where they've made buy-to-let landlords often vilified, that, you know, these landlords are bad people. They're kind of making money out of people which are renting. But there has been a huge skew. There's a lot of professional landlords entering the market, a lot of big household brands, for example, Legal & General, Prudential, entering the sector in a more professional capacity. We've seen it with student housing in big areas all over the UK. We've seen it in the rental property as well. There's a lot of big tower blocks going up, probably wherever you live, you'll see them. And it's what they call the build-to-rent properties. So there's actual developers who are building these blocks of flats, which are owned by big corporate institutions. And what is happening is this is also driving up rents, because a lot of these corporates with these nice new shiny buildings will charge higher rents than what's available from the smaller landlords. The tax changes which did come in probably about 4 years ago, predominantly the 3% surcharge on stamp duty for people buying second homes, wear and tear allowance disappearing was the second big change. And the way mortgage interest relief is calculated has really affected landlords. And with the costs of borrowing increasing in terms of interest rates increasing, we will see some landlords, or the smaller accidental landlords, leaving the market, which in effect will reduce the number of rental properties available on the market. The negative of that is that will drive up rents. So the government and policymakers have got to be a bit careful not to kind of push out the private rented sector. And this, I genuinely believe some help should be given to help landlords hang on to those assets, because any economy does need a proportion of the population which are able to relocate, for example, from London to Manchester, from Manchester to Birmingham, or London going up to other cities around the UK where the jobs actually are. Yes, the UK is pretty much London heavy in terms of a lot of the commerce happens in London. We are trying to kind of decentralize, but without an active rental market, the workforce can't actually move if there's no rental properties available.
Yeah, it's an interesting debate and one that I'd like to continue this discussion, if I may. But I'll just remind those who are listening live, you're very welcome to ask a question and we will answer that, ask anytime, and we can bring that up. Just, Idil, I wanted to ask you about the, first of all, Michael Gove has been appointed as the housing minister. Do you have any views on his policies and how this might impact landlords?
I haven't got any views as such. The main reason is we've had so many housing ministers over the last 2-3 years. And the main point I would like to make is we need some stability in that sector. Yeah. Somebody knows who's what they're doing in terms of housing policy. Are they going to help people buy properties? For example, the first-time buyers are key to any kind of property market. But also, what help is available to existing landlords and what is available for current renters? There's nothing wrong with renting. And if you look at, you know, other European cities, it's quite common for 40 or 60% of the population to rent. The big difference between the UK and European counterparts is in the UK, it's quite common to have a 12-month tenancy agreement, or what they call an AST, a short hold tenancy agreement. Whereas in Europe, it's quite common to have 3, 5, and 10-year tenancies. What that does provide is more stability for the renter. The rent will be held for that period or will increase, you know, at, say, 3% per year. But at the outset, if we had longer-term tenancies in the UK, I think, you know, those things would actually benefit the rental market. So that's what I'd like to see as policy coming out from the government.
Yeah, I think the big one for me is the right to evict. And as someone who I've spoken about this before, has had a tenant in situ since March 2021 who believes that rent is optional and owes me tens of thousands of pounds. You just can't evict. It takes over a year to evict someone. And it's just, it's unfair. And I think that there is an interesting argument where those who are renting will say that landlords are greedy and evil and the rest. However, they're actually providing a home that is needed. There aren't enough of these homes. And by the government tightening their policies and making it more unfavorable for landlords, it's actually decreasing the supply. And unfortunately, as we all know from Economics 101, it's increasing the prices. And this is, I think that the government have not really thought this through. There are not enough rental products and properties in place to put these policies in place. It'd be all right if they did have enough, but at the moment they just don't. So I would really like Michael Gove to address that and somehow rebalance the situation, because it's better for renters.
Yeah, totally agree. And I do sympathise with your personal situation in terms of that rental property. We've seen the same thing. As my property consultant, we also let and manage properties on behalf of the clients where we manage their properties. So there's over 100 properties that we manage. And during the COVID period, I'd say between 5 and 10% of people sent emails, phoned us up, and they were claiming they could not afford to pay the rent. We simply went back and said, well, can you, you know, what assistance can we as a managing agent provide you with? Can we kind of give you a rent holiday, reduce the rent? And if you definitely cannot pay, can you please show us a redundancy letter from your employer and evidence that you're actually seeking benefits? And it's quite interesting, a relatively small book of business to be had. But out of those 10% which said they couldn't afford, basically, 9 out of 10 of those came back and said, oh, it's okay, we've got savings, we will pay. And there were the genuine one or two cases where, for example, there people were working in lower class economies. For example, there's one property we managed for one of our landlords where the gentleman was a hairdresser, his wife was a waitress, and both businesses were closed for 2 years and they genuinely couldn't afford the rent. Mm-hmm. But any landlord, most landlords, I'd say, everyone was very sympathetic to the situation. We offered a rent holiday, or pay whatever you can, and you can make up the balance afterwards. And when you actually are dealing with people, people forget these landlords that you and I know, we are hardworking individuals. A lot of us have day jobs. Some of us do it, you know, full time. Some people outsource it to companies like my property consultant, but we're all hardworking people. But we're also people which we also have families, other responsibilities in terms of financial responsibilities, making sure these properties are well maintained. But the family which were in that situation, they really were appreciative of the service that we offered and the landlord for giving them a break during the hard 2 year period. Yes, they built up rent arrears of about £5,000 or £6,000, which they're paying off about £250 per month extra in terms of rent to clear that debt. But my point is, most landlords are good people, and they will help out their tenants as and where, because all of us do fall upon hard times. But the media will pick up on the negative of the landlords don't care about the tenants, that they don't look after the properties. But most of us who are property investors, we do want to look after our properties. And the key to that is having good tenants, make sure the tenants are happy. But I do agree the government does have to step in and give more assurances to the landlord community that it's not too stacked in favour of the tenant, hence the situation you described.
Exactly. I think that most landlords would just be happy to have their mortgage paid. And as long as the mortgage is being covered, they would be happy to show some flexibility towards someone who is genuinely struggling. Contrast that with a PLC who have shareholders to report to and a corporate system in place. And I'm sure there is not as much flexibility. But again, that's yet to be seen as more of these build-to-rent type projects come into play. So just finishing up on this, Edel, again, if anyone has any questions, please ask them now, or you can ask them later during the recording. When you're listening to the recording on wherever you are listening. So just to finish up, you gave a prediction last month.
Yes.
What is your prediction going forward?
So my prediction, call me an optimist, but I genuinely believe that the house prices in the UK will hold firm for the next 3 to 6 months. We've seen evidence of slowing of prices, but I genuinely believe that they'll just flatline between now and the end of this year. There's been a lot of positive news, as we mentioned, you know, with the new prime minister. That news has stabilized the markets. And the example I'd like to give there is when we spoke just 4 weeks ago, the news was saying that a lot of lenders have pulled out of the mortgage market. So in reality, when the previous prime minister actually came in, they gave their mini budget, there were only 2,270 mortgage products available. There's today 3,000 products available. So that's just within the last week, lenders have launched new products on the market. The BBC was quoting interest rates would hit 7% next year. And again, it's all doom and gloom if you listen to the you know, the newsreels out there. But what was good news last week was the governor of the Bank of England, he's actually predicted that Bank of England rates, yes, they may go up next week when the MPC announcement is. The market's already priced in that rates will go up by another 1% next week. However, the forecasts have now changed. They may only increase by 0.75%. And the good news is, in terms of what the governor, Ben Broadbent, has actually announced, he's saying that rates will probably top out at 4.68%. So that is the Bank of England rate. It is very exact. So again, obviously, they've got a huge kind of treasury team behind them. So 4.68% is very, very much lower than the 7%, which, you know, some of the BBC pundits will be pushing. And we had good news this morning. I was at a breakfast meeting. We had, you know, financial advisors, mortgage brokers there. And although the interest rates about 4 weeks ago, you know, a 5-year fixed rate was in the region of 6%. What has happened is rates this week from all of the major lenders have actually decreased by up to 0.5%. So that's Santander, Accord Mortgages, which represent buy-to-let mortgages. HSBC have all reduced rates this week. And there will be more mortgage products coming onto the market. And one mortgage broker I spoke to this morning has just secured a 5-year fix for one of their buy-to-let landlords at 4.5%, fixed for 5 years. So that's very different to people scaremongering saying rates are going to be 6%, 7%, which would be more difficult for most householders as well as buy-to-let landlords. So the spread on interest rates is actually decreasing, and that's led by, it's a knock-on effect from gilt rates decreasing, and also energy prices are starting to come down as well. So gas prices coming down. So this will have basically anti-inflationary measures, which means the Bank of England, when they are setting rates, don't have to be as aggressive. But again, they've got to be careful in how they kind of increase rates to bring down the rate of inflation to their target of 2%.
Yeah, no, exactly. It feels like there's more stability. Do let us know what you think in the comments, wherever you're watching. We do want to read out some of your comments and predictions going forward. And for more of this, just join in next month. I'll let you know when it's going to be, and I won't be on a boat this time. I will be back on dry land with much better connection. So thank you for those who persisted. And again, if you want to join in the conversation, you can also head over to my Substack. I've joined the Substack group, and it's nicolebremner.substack.com. And that is where you can join in the conversation on this and much more property news, views, opinions, and even a serialization of my book with updated comments. So head over to nicolebremner.substack.com. Edel, thank you so much. You can also subscribe to Edel's dashboard that we've discussed today. Here's my version right here. How can people do that?
Yeah, so simply go onto our website, which is myproperty-consultant.london. There's a contact me page, so click on that and you'll automatically be able to enter your details to join our mailing list. So I'll then add you onto our mailing list where you'll be sent out the dashboard on a monthly basis, but also commentary from myself in terms of comparing what the data actually means, and hopefully gives an insight to what is happening in the property. And it is a balanced view, comparing the figures. So it's not all one-sided.
I think that's an important point, because you're optimistic, I'm pessimistic, and we kind of blend to form a view. So it's interesting to discuss this with you again. So thanks again, Edel, and thank you to those who have listened live and also those who are listening to the recording. See you next month.